Hello, everybody. We've now come to our Bible reading time. We have two passages tonight. The first one is Psalms 119, starting at verses 105, reading through to 112. So I'll give you a moment to find that. It is also up on the screen. Okay, let's begin reading. Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. I have solemnly sworn to keep your righteous judgments. I am severely afflicted, Lord. Give me life according to your word. Lord, please accept my free will, offerings of praise, and teach me your judgments. My life is constantly in danger, yet I do not forget your instruction. The wicked have set a trap for me, but I have not wandered from your precepts. I have your decrees as a heritage forever. Indeed, they are the joy of my heart. I am resolved to obey your statutes to the very end. And our second reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Okay. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have observed and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, that life was revealed, and we have seen it, and we testify and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard, we also declare to you, so that you may also have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete.
I think Nathan was going to tell you that now's the time to do the QR code thing to put in your questions. Because most of you are 25 or younger, you know what QR, you speak QR, do the thing with the QR and the questions now so that it doesn't look like you're taking a selfie or was it Be Real with the preacher in about 15 minutes' time. I spoke to my progeny this evening. I said, tell me the words to say to a younger crowd so I sound like a human being. I have been on Be Real. My wife does it. Okay. Well, look, I'm very thankful to have the opportunity to preach for you today and to share with you something of the ministry of Moore College. Moore College is a residential community of people gathered around God's word together. It's like a cross between a university and a church. But God's word is at the centre of everything that we do at Moore College. So when Craig asked me to come and share with you today, I thought, what better time than to speak about the marvellous gift that God's word is to us as his people? Learning to be more familiar with and confident in God's word is one of the key things we do at college, whether you're studying the PTC or even for a master's in theology. And our New Testament reading from 1 John has three great reasons why we can all be thankful that God's word is for us. They are that God's word is personal. It's a personal word to us. It's personally mediated to us. And it's personally mediated to us so that we can be a community gathered around it. Now, I'm going to have a look at 1 John 1, so please flick or swipe or even turn, if you're old school, to 1 John, and we'll have a look at that together. But before I do, let me pray. Our great God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And we thank you that we can read it together here tonight without fear of interruption or persecution. Please send your spirit into our hearts to open our ears to hear your voice. Amen. So God's word is for us because God's word is a personal word. Have a look at the way that John describes it in the first verse of chapter 1 there. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, that's what we're making known to you. As we look carefully at this verse, you'll notice that firstly, the writer is probably the John who wrote the gospel, and the book of Revelation. Same John who was one of Jesus' closest friends, in fact. This John is the one who wrote the words that we're reading tonight. Someone who spent 3 years almost every day with Jesus the Lord. And what this means is that God's word comes from someone who had a close personal experience with the Lord Jesus. Or as he describes it there, what we've heard. When Jesus told parables, you can be sure that John was one of the people sitting around listening to those stories. And not only that, as we read in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus did not speak to the crowds without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. John was one of those people that Jesus explained everything to. Not only what we've heard, what we've seen with our eyes. When Jesus performed the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, John was one of the people who collected a basket full of leftovers. He was one of the men on the boat when Jesus calmed the storm. He was on the boat when Jesus walked on the water. What we've heard, what we've seen, what we've observed. When Jesus went up on a mountain and was transfigured into his glorious form, and God spoke and said, "Here is my beloved Son, listen to him." God was speaking to three people, and one of them was John. What we've seen, what we've heard, what we've observed, and what we've touched with our hands. John lived so closely with Jesus that he could literally reach out and grab hold of him. At the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples, this is how close the relationship between Jesus and John is described. In John 13, verse 23, we read this. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him and asked him of who Jesus was speaking about when he prophesied that someone would betray him. So John, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" John was literally Jesus' left-hand man. All these personal experiences that we see in verse 1 give us confidence when we read or hear the Bible that it's reliable because the people who wrote it were there when it all happened. As a record of John's personal experience, we're reminded that the people who wrote the Bible learned what they did the same way that we learn about the world, with our eyes, with our ears, with our hands. John learned what he did about the Lord Jesus using the only ordinary faculties that we all use to learn these things. And not only is the message of the Bible reliable, all this means is that it's for us. It's for ordinary people like you and me. You don't have to be super intelligent or even super spiritual to grasp the message of God's word, because the message was delivered in such a personal way. God's word is for us. Now, that's not to say that some passages of the Bible aren't tricky to understand and certainly a challenge to our culture. They are. However, God knows this. And so, as we read in the letter to the Ephesians that Paul wrote, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, Christ himself gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. The Lord Jesus provides those special people like Craig and the other members of the ministry team here, the Bible study leaders or the youth group leaders. God provides those people to equip the church for his various works of service. No matter how long ago some of the various books of the Bible were written, and some of them could be up to 3,500 years old, despite this, the first authors and their hearers still had bodies and senses like ours, and hence the message that we learned is the same personal message that was revealed to them. Now, in an era of fake news or bogus texts or scam emails or whatever it is that happens on TikTok, you could be forgiven for being a little skeptical about personal messages. And that's why the issue of mediation is so important in John's letter. God's word is personally mediated to us. Have a look at what John writes in verse 2 of chapter 1. The word of life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has been revealed to us. Day in and day out for 3 years, John encountered Jesus up close and personal. That's the word of life that John is referring to here. But in that process, John discovered, it was revealed to him, that Jesus wasn't just a Jewish man. He was, in fact, the mediator between heaven and earth, between God and human beings. Now, when I use a word like mediator, think about a bridge that joins two sides of a river together, or someone who comes into a special situation of conflict to enable two different parties or two different groups of people to be reconciled. Someone who brings groups of two or more together. Now, there are other kinds of mediums or mediators, of course. Your phone is the most obvious one. Mediates to you the world of Instagram and Facebook and all that other stuff. All that stuff out there becomes real to us because it's mediated to us. In our Bible reading, we see that through Jesus, the eternal life of God was mediated to John and through him to us, but in the same ordinary ways that we learn all kinds of things. Of course, this is a supernatural message that we receive in the Bible, not just human words. What John could only learn because of God's help to him is what he makes known to us. What John writes for us, God speaks to us because through Jesus, God spoke to John. Now, this adds to the significance of what I said earlier, that God's word is personal, because it means that Jesus is God's personal word to us, what God is really like. Jesus is the 8K version of God's word to the world. Or as John wrote in his gospel, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The most amazing things about God's word is that he became embodied. He had a body like ours. He lived in a house like we do. He wore clothes. He ate food and drank wine. He got tired. He might have even had bad breath. Who knows? Maybe just in the morning. But the one who has the eternal life from God came into the world and lived an ordinary life so that he could mediate the truth about God to us. In fact, he made God accessible, touchable to us. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed, but each Christmas or each Easter, somebody publishes a book or releases a magazine article or an online piece on the fact that Jesus never really existed. Have you seen those before? They come out, you know, at least a couple of times a year. They are, without exception, complete rubbish, as they fail to obey the basic practices of history that enable us to celebrate things like Anzac Day. You see, if Jesus isn't true, neither is Gallipoli. The question is not whether Jesus of Nazareth existed, but whether Jesus is a valid mediator of God. That's the question that he keeps being asked in the gospel stories. Is he really all the things he said? Does he have the authority to forgive your sins? Does he have the right to command our obedience? Does he, for that matter, have the right to judge your life and my life and determine whether it's acceptable to God? Those are the questions that we need an answer for. The validity of Jesus as a mediator of God is, as with all things, bound up in the reliability of that mediation, that message. That's what makes the resurrection of Jesus so important. On Easter Sunday, as the risen Jesus appeared to his followers, suddenly every other thing that he'd said and every other thing that he did made sense. Yes, he really was from God. Jesus is who he said he would be. And what's more, to make sure that the disciples understood what they were experiencing, Jesus gave them the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you've ever read the gospel stories, you might have noticed that sometimes the disciples, they're kind of like knuckleheads. No, Jesus, don't do this. Oh, Jesus, make me famous. But knowing this, God ensured by the power of his Spirit that they would be perfect witnesses to Jesus. Jesus explains it like this in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 25. All this I have spoken to you while I was still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything that I have said to you. You see, God himself ensures that his personal word is reliably mediated to us by the apostles, by what was written to them, and it's guaranteed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Reading the Bible or even listening to the Bible being read uses our ordinary senses to receive the message, yet it's a message that comes upon the breath of God because it's in the power of God's Spirit that God's word is heard. So once again, we can say that God's word is for us. God works through the Lord Jesus and in the power of his Spirit to mediate his word to us. And to ensure that message is being mediated is genuinely his word to us. So God mediates his word to us and for us, but for us. Look at what John writes in verse 3. That which we've seen and we've heard, we also proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as I keep saying, God's word is mediated to us, but it is also for us. That is, nowhere more important, the message of salvation comes to us in the Bible and through the gospel to create a community. That which we've seen, we've heard, we also declare to you so that you may have fellowship or community along with us. Jesus' specific purpose in calling to himself the apostles was so that they could share his testimony throughout all the world and down through the ages and include us. God's word makes community, and it makes communities like this one and like the community at Moore College. Contrary to a lot of popular mythology, especially in Australia, Christianity isn't a private matter. It's a group thing. God's word makes groups. It's for groups, groups of his people that he calls his family. God empowers his word with his Spirit so that through his word, a people will be connected to God, but also to each other. Since the time of Pentecost, God's Spirit has been gathering people together around his word. This is how the early church was described in Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Sound familiar? That's your church, isn't it? You gather around the apostles' teaching in prayer. You sometimes break bread. Other times it's from McDonald's, I guess. But again, God's word is creating a community here in Pitt Town. Now, of course, God's word creates a particular kind of group, a particular kind of community, and that's a community gathered around the Lord Jesus. You see, without the word of God, this lovely group of people is really just a group of locals who share a postcode and like going out on a cold night on Sundays. Take away the word of God and all you've got is, well, groovy people, but it's not a church. It's the word of God that gives us our identity as the people of Jesus, as a church. Indeed, as John writes, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus the Christ, through his word. God's word creates a living and personal connection with him experienced amongst his people. We have bodies so that we can bring them together and play a part in mediating the good news of Jesus to each other, sharing it together at our gatherings like this, or in our home groups, or in youth group. The Bible gives us a way of talking to each other, of praying together, of singing together, and living together. In fact, we have a whole history and cultural heritage that crosses time and space. Despite the fact that the Bible stories go even back to the creation of the world, because God's word is the same, that story becomes our story. Or as Paul says to the Galatians, understand then that those who have faith in Jesus are children of Abraham. When Nathan asked me about my family earlier, I said I was the son of Julie. That's true, but what I should have said is, thanks to Jesus, I'm a son of Abraham. And if you trust in Jesus, then you are a son or daughter of Abraham as well. That Old Testament Bible story is your story. Now, we take this very seriously at Moore College, such that we expect our students to come together and live in our communities for up to 4 years, them and their families as well, so that their learning experience, their preparation for ministry, reflects the kind of community that God's word creates. God's word, personally mediated across space and time, creates communities like Moore College. And it creates communities like this one here at Pitt Town. And because of that, Moore College is your college, just like Pitt Town is one of our churches. The kind of community you obviously love here, and the same kind of community that makes Moore College, is a result of the same thing. God's personally mediated communal word, because God's word is for us. Let me pray. Our great God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word and the power of your spirit that opens our heart to hear it. Lord, please bless us with your word. Make it grow richly in us and overflow in our lives so that we can be a blessing to others. And all this we pray for the sake of Jesus' glory. Amen.